Welcome to the True Elegance Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Bome Akikube, also known as Dr. B. Through solo episodes and guest sessions, we delve into the timeless qualities of style, grace, and sophistication, and uncover what makes you truly elegant. So, sit back, relax, and let's get started on this empowering journey of becoming truly elegant. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the True Elegance Podcast, where we talk about the inner values that make us beautiful from the inside out and allow us to radiate elegant confidence. Today, I have with me a speaker, trainer, and coach who focuses on public speaking and leadership. She's also an anti-aging and wellness business coach, best-selling author, and host of the Find Your Leadership Confidence podcast. Welcome with me, Vicky Netlin. Welcome, Vicky.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be on the podcast with you.
Awesome. So I know on the True Elegance podcast, we don't only focus on the outward beauty, but when we were having our pre-chat and you told me you're 65 years old, that just like blew me away. And I'm going to start with that. Like, what's the secret to looking so amazing at 65?
You know, and it really is, when you think about skin and hair, it really isn't just things that you put on top. It really is what you put inside. Right. And so you have to be conscious of your body. And so some of the things that I have in my anti-aging wellness business really replenish things that we lose as we age. So collagen, we start to lose that really quickly in our 20s. And so it's important that you bring things like that back so you get the elasticity, the firmness of your skin. Wow. I noticed at 50, I was getting more chins than I needed. And I did not like that. And okay. So what I found with, you know, our weight management system that has all those things, it actually, the first thing that went was a chin. Wow. And I was yay, happy for that. Uh-huh. I always had thin hair, and so our hair care products are just so tremendous. They're coconut based, so everything's holistic, everything's natural and clean. And I liked all of that. I thought, you know, if I'm going to be doing something to make my skin and hair better, I want it to be a good product.
Right.
So I think part of living long and loving life is making sure that you feel well as you do it.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. And I can see how that plays into, you know, the programs you offer. Yes. Women to get them on video, on camera, to improve their confidence, because sometimes these are the things that sometimes deter us from showing up elegantly as we should.
Yeah. And it's just simple things. And it's really like, I'm not trying to look 20. I just want that, you know, when I get on camera or see a video that I posted, uh-huh. that I don't look at it like, oh, geez, I should have put a filter on. And, you know, a lot of people do that. They won't post anything until they put a filter on. And I thought, well, you know, let's try to eliminate some of those things. And if you see me in person, this is what I look like.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. That's beautiful. Like, as part of the programs and the things you do for women, you focus on the heart, the head, and the hands. So if you don't mind, I want you to share that with our audience today and break it down for us.
I'd love to. You know, when I started working in the 70s and the 80s, it was really, management was mostly men. And so they have masculine energy, and the way that they taught you to lead was using that masculine energy. And so oftentimes you went to work and it was, you went in, you did your job, you went home, and your boss or your team didn't really know anything about you. Wow. And I just found that it was important for me to know my people that were working with me. And it was important to not just know them in a job sense, but know about them, you know, what makes them tick. And especially as I got into management, how can I make you do more than you know that you can do or you think you can do? How can I believe in you before you believe in yourself? And so I need to know about you. I need to use those emotional intelligences that we have, that natural feeling that we as women from the feminine energy have. I need to be able to talk with you with empathy so that you understand that in a lot of cases, maybe I've been there, done that, but other cases, maybe I haven't experienced what you're experiencing, but I want you to know that I care and that I want to try to help you whatever way I can. Mm. And so when you lead that way, then people are more apt, more willing to do more for you. That, you know, people talk about people leaving of the job and it's not because of the job, it's because of the manager that you have. Right. Well, I want you to not want to leave. You know, I love when I have the conversations with people that I see that they're ready to move on, but they're hesitant because they want to still work with you. And it's right. Like, but no, this is, you know, I'm pushing you out of the nest and it's time for you to fly. Mm. So the first thing is just having that, taking advantage of the feelings that we have and being able to lead with our gut and our natural feminine energy. And men have it as well. It's just, they have to be able to embrace that. And then once you have your team that trust you, mm-hmm. that respect you and you respect and trust them, then it's easier for you to work together and think of the strategic things that you need to do. It's right. And to be able to now tap into the minds of the team that you have to be able to be more innovative, more creative. Mm-hmm. And when you have that trust and that understanding and integrity, whenever you ask them to be creative and innovative, that means at times they're going to screw up. They're going to fail. They're going to do something that really won't work.
Right.
But they know because you've built this relationship that it's okay, that failure is just another step towards success. Mm-hmm. And so again, it's working with their minds, keeping their mindset in that positive space. And then finally, and sometimes I think most importantly, when I'm looking for people to be on a team is the hands. And that's the service leader. That whenever I was in the corporate world, one of the last jobs I had, I joined that company because of their service to people. And they didn't make a big deal of it. They spent millions and millions or gave away millions and millions of dollars, but nobody really knew that. They didn't make a big deal of it. But every event and volunteer effort that I went to for several years before joining that company had people there in ranks, you know, tons of them. Okay. And so I thought, okay, if I get people who will work that hard for nothing, mm-hmm. how much will they do it for free? I mean, for a cash, paid. For money, some payments, yeah. and one of the things you learn in volunteering is how important it is to recognize the efforts that and thank people. Right. And so if you start to get that mindset mm-hmm. that the people in your company are what makes your company and are vital for your company and that they should be recognized and appreciated, then they will stay and they will work with you. Mm-hmm. And so to me, in the 21st century, leaders need to lead with their heart, their head, and their hands.
Hands. Wow. That is beautiful. I love every aspect of it. I'm going to pick on some of the things you mentioned. You talked about leaders being able to believe in the individual mm-hmm. they're seeing even before they believe in themselves. And I think we see that a lot where especially as women, you know, you have the skills, you have the talents, you have the experience that you've gained all these years, but then you show up at the table and you almost feel like you're not capable of doing what you should. So as leaders, you know, both in business or even in, like you said, volunteer situations, or even in our personal life as coaches and everything, putting that trust and confidence in people to help them even step into who they are and what they can do.
Yeah, for sure. And it's really kind of goes back to the need in companies and businesses, small or large, to take full advantage of mentoring others. It's the really the giving back.
Right.
I have all my career, 40 plus now, almost 50 years of this, have had somebody who cared enough to share what they knew with me. Right. And oftentimes it was to, so my first job, I used to joke about this. My first job, my first supervisor was a lady, you know, so I was fortunate to have a female boss. And I used to tease her that she was great at butt reviews. And it wasn't what reviewing my butt. It wasn't reviewing my butt. But it was a review that every time she would talk to me about everything that I was doing great and just building me up and understanding it. But there was always the but.
Yeah, but. Okay.
And the but was what made me better, because she knew I could do more. So she kept on dripping these things that it would be cool if I did this.
Okay.
You know, and you always have that self-doubt. You're scared of doing something new, and you're scared of failing. You're scared of screwing up. You're scared of being embarrassed by something. And so as women, we tend to stay in that comfort zone, that safe space, building our wall around us. And the problem is we can't get anywhere and we get frustrated, right? Later in my career, the last company that I went to, I worked for the board of directors for a few years. And so the two people that I was working for were operations people, and we had to present to them why they should use us. Because we were these people with all these skills, and they were not having us do anything more than make reservations for lunch or flights, you know? Okay. And so we had to present to us, and here we are way down in level from where they were, but we had to convince them of how we could make them better.
Right.
And one of the other fellows, the CIO, was one that was totally... he just wasn't getting along with the person that they assigned him to. Well, I came from a company that I was supporting 40 people. So I'm thinking three people would not be too hard for me to support. Okay. And so I asked to take on this third person. And that was a big discussion as to precedent and all that kind of stuff. Still amazes me. But it was, I think, like a God wink. It was a pivotal moment, because this person saw something in me that I didn't see in myself.
Right.
He believed that I could do more than I ever thought I could do. At that point, I had no college degree. And I was, you know, thinking that I was never going to get any more, do anything more than what I had been doing as an assistant. And, but I had picked up for almost 20 years, a lot of information.
Right.
So he just literally filled out a supervisor paperwork and told me to sign here.
Wow.
And he was starting two new groups. And he said, you're going to be the supervisor over all these two groups.
Wow. That's awesome.
And every time he had to do an interview or had a meeting that was a teleconference, he called me into his office to sit and listen.
Right.
And observe. And each of those things taught me whether I knew it was happening at the time or not, but I was like this sponge that was absorbing everything that he did. And so what that taught me was when I got into that role then as that supervisor and manager, I needed to do the same for the people that I had. And so it wasn't one of those things where they came in and did their job and went home. It was me to find about them and to learn more about them. And so a mentoring just continues on. And that's why I love to work with kids. I love to ask, I love the podcast because it allows me not only to share with my audience, as you do, all these wonderful people and the skills they have. But I'm still that sponge. I'm still absorbing all that information. And to me, that's what keeps me young at 65. Young.
That is beautiful. Young at heart, young at mind and everything. Yes, mentoring is such a powerful, you know, tool that works beyond generations, beyond age, and will always be there, you know, just like you had that experience where someone actually almost pulled you in and poured it all into you. It's and even then I'm sure you're just like, what is this guy doing and all that, but at the end of the day it was really, really worth it. And that is one thing that I hope we can continue to do wherever we find ourselves, just looking for ways and means to pour into others and not having the fear that maybe they'll absorb everything I know and then I'll be irrelevant, which is not how it works, right?
Well, and the other thing that he taught me a ton of things. One of the things was that never be the smartest person in the room. And, you know, especially for women, I think we always think, well, we can't do something because there's a smarter guy knows more, somebody, even another female that knows more. And so we shouldn't give our thoughts or our opinions because it might be wrong. It might not be the smartest thing to say, but sometimes you surprise yourself and the words that you say are inspirational, or the words that you say are just what was needed to move that project ahead or that process improvement. And so it's just like any no that is in life. You know, if you say nothing, it's a no. If you have it wrong, it could be a no. But if you're right, it could be a yes.
It could be a
maybe not now. Could be, but at least by your speaking up, people will start to remember you.
Wow. That is really about being intentional. I know you also talk about fear and courage, how both of those are necessary to be a good leader. I'll think fear should not be part of it.
You have to accept that you'll have fear. You have fear. I mean, it's just natural. If you're not evolving, if you're not going outside your comfort zone, you're not growing. You're not going to be better, and it will become no longer fun and stagnant. So there is always the fear of, oh my God, I'm doing something. I don't know what to do here. As a parent, when we became a mom, or a dad, we had no idea. There's no manual. We have no idea. We're just doing our thing and hoping we don't screw things up later. I always say my daughters, if they have therapy at 30, it's probably something I did, but it's, we don't know. And so whenever we approach our jobs, especially in this ever changing technical environment that we have, if we fear AI, if we fear a new process, if we fear a new, you know, any technology, we could be missing out on so many great things. For me, when I decided in 2021 that I was going to do this, I had been in business for a long time, but I wasn't an owner of a business. So of course there's fear, you know, that I might not do something, but I had to keep on saying, and I have had a little setting. I don't know if I still have it. Yes, it is. It's my someday is now. And yes. And I just kept on saying, okay, yes. So when they asked me to, after being on a podcast, they asked me to be in a book, a compilation book. And I thought, I've never written anything before, but I said, yes. And 4 hours later, I had written something. I was like, oh, okay. Wow. So then 4 books later, you know, and in the podcast, I did just in the pandemic, I was part of Darren Hardy's group. And one of our Hero's Journey efforts was to reach out to somebody older than you, the same age as you and younger than you.
Oh,
well, okay. The pandemic, people were locked in their home. And I had a whole lot of church friends that had nobody. And so I started setting up these little Zoom calls to just talk to them. Mm-hmm. And they're like, tell me your story. And so from that, I thought, I love this. I need to do this. So then I found somebody online, and Adam Homey did in 3 months everything I needed to do to start my podcast and train me excellently. Wow. And now 200 episodes later, I found something that I love that I would have never thought of doing.
Wow.
So you have to just say, okay, I know I'm going to be afraid,
mm-hmm.
but have the courage to say, if I fail, I just will get up and try differently.
Right.
It's our internal GPS. If you think of it that way, whenever we turn on GPS and we're driving, it might take us one way. That's not a way that we're used to going.
Mm-hmm.
And we can turn off that, but we still can get to that end place.
Yes.
It's just a different way to do it. And so I think that's what you have to remember, that courage and fear are all part of the hard work that it takes to get to success.
Wow. That's beautiful. Courage and fear. And doing it anyway, you know, because like you said, if we keep it all to ourselves and retract from the environment or from the stage or from leadership positions, which is what you're training people for, you just never know what impacts you'll be able to make. And even though there might be disappointments and failures along the way, using them as stepping stones to improve and get better on our journey of impact is what we all need to remember.
And the reason why I teach the public speaking piece, that finding your voice, is that as a leader, you have to communicate on several levels, and you have to understand tone and how that impacts. I always tell people, you can have the best speech, the perfect words, but if you don't say them in the perfect way, and I hate to say perfect because I always tell people you shouldn't be perfect, but if you say them in the right way, the way that is going to get you to the outcome that you desire, then it's perfectly wonderful. you know, it is impactful. You can have the best product. You can have the best service. You can have the best process. But if you can't convey what that is, you're not going to sell it. You're not going to make an impact. Mm-hmm. People don't buy products. They don't buy services. They buy you.
Right.
And so you have to talk to do that. And so to be an effective manager, to be able to get your people to do 110%, you have to be able to motivate, inspire, and be consistent in what you do.
Wow. For folks that are just maybe starting on this journey, you know, they've always been the type, because I know some women, like, I'll say, okay, come join a panel, you know, it's not even just you speaking on stage. I'm like, okay, there are four of us that will be talking about this, maybe just sharing our stories and experiences.
Yeah.
And they're just like, no, I can never speak in public. I'm not a public speaker. I don't have the confidence. What do you have?
Well, you send them to me.
Okay.
We'll fix
that's
that.
A good
we
one.
We will fix that. Yeah. And, you know, and people, whenever they see me now after all these many, many years, mm-hmm. think that I've always been this way. But, you know, you can ask people who grew up with me and they're surprised wow. to see me in on stage or doing things, because I was always happy to sit in the background. I was one of I was second in line of six kids or seven kids, actually. Wow. And it was easy for me to just be quiet. And mm-hmm. I had all of these wonderful things. I used to write poetry and all of this, but I never expressed it.
Wow.
And so it really wasn't until it was thrust upon me that I realized, well, I better get good at this. So I can tell you that over the last 27 years, I've seen people that have been terrified to the point of being ill. Wow. I have seen people shaking so bad that they couldn't hold a piece of paper because it was so distracting. And yet now they're in strong leadership roles. They are confident speakers.
Wow.
It's really just, again, I think that's why I was talking about believing in them before they'll believe in themselves. Mm-hmm. I know that you can become a great speaker.
Right.
I know you can become confident. And especially if you're talking about something that you love,
exactly.
Why not be on that panel?
Right.
You know, we're not going to ask you. And if, unless that host is a terrible facilitator, we're not going to ask you a question to really trip you up. Mm-hmm. We want to ask you things that will make you seem brilliant and shine.
Right.
And we want you to be able to get your message across. And so I think if you just remember that and just have a conversation with the panelist mm-hmm. and the moderator and forget about the people that are out there, that takes away the fear. You know, it is just a conversation that you're
right.
having.
Right.
We're just having a conversation. And I know there are some people, when I tell them it's a video, they're like, oh.
Like no video.
But no, it's just a conversation.
Yes, it is. Does the introvert, extrovert designation play into that?
Well, I'm an introvert for sure. but I think that you have to be a speaker, you almost have to be an actor. And I think people think, well, I'm not an actor, but yes, you are. As a parent, we have to act. as a spouse, we have to act. It's really understanding, what do I need to do to get what I need done? And you do it. And so how important is it to you? And that's, I think, a lot of times we aren't getting where we need to go because it isn't as important as it needs to be. And okay. So really, we stay in that comfort zone, circle of resistance sometimes because of the fear. Sometimes it's because people are holding us back and we're afraid to change. Change is a big fear.
Change is a big fear.
Change is a big fear. But you have to recognize. So part of whenever you know, or in a coaching with me or other trainers, the part of what we have to do is figure out why you have this fear, why you are not being effective as a manager. And I always talk about peeling the onion to just really uncover what that is, because once you do know what's holding you back, then you have something to work with. But it also sometimes is to get rid of some of the excuses, the things we tell ourselves.
Right.
which are awesomely terrible sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yes. Sometimes we say some terrible things to ourselves that we would not allow anyone to ever say to us.
Wow.
And so you have to work a lot on mindset too.
Mm-hmm. That's where it all starts.
Yeah. And I always share with people the times where I got up on stage and screwed up. And heck, I was going to present the first reading at church while it was being live streamed, and I fell.
No way.
Flat down on the ground.
Oh, my
wearing
goodness.
A skirt.
Oh, my goodness. That is.
Well, I could not stop the mass, so I just got up, went to the ambo and read my reading, went down.
Wow.
And just said a prayer to God that hopefully no one saw anything they needed not to see. But the thing is, I didn't die.
Exactly.
The church did not burst out in laughter.
Hmm.
And surely there will be probably years from now, someone will say, hey, I remember that time you fell at church. It was so awesome.
Oh my goodness.
And we can laugh about it. But for me, I just choose to laugh about it now.
Wow.
Yeah. And the first time in front of an audience of my peers and above at the corporate office, I had my speech started out with the presentation that I had was a scripted. And it started out about something about the people. Mm. And instead of saying the people, I said the pee pee.
The pee pee. Oh my goodness.
They all, like, you could see their faces. And I just
really
immediately
some embarrassing
said,
moments.
I just immediately said, hey, I'm a mom. I'm allowed to say that.
Exactly.
And then I just continued on. And as I said, years later, people will remember and have said to me, I remember when you did that. It was the best management conference we ever went to. Well, again, I didn't die. I didn't get fired. Mm-hmm. And people remember me. Whether it's for good or bad or whatever, you want to be remembered. The worst thing in the world is to say that I was on that panel and people didn't even realize I was there.
Right. Wow. Those are powerful. And I like the fact that you said you didn't die. So it just reminds us that it reminds us that many things take courage, you know. Yeah. Many times, you know, looking at you or looking at me, even I wasn't necessarily always a camera ready person or interactive person. Mm-hmm. But, you know, every day I'm growing and getting better, because the more you do some of these things, the better you get at it. But if you don't take that bold step to start, you'll never know. You'll never know. So
you don't want to be a person that has regrets.
Right.
Early when at that same company that I last went to, in those early days, one of my cube mates, if you will, was a poet that actually got published, and she wrote the poem about the dash, and some people might know it. Linda Ellis is her name. You should look her up. And so the dash is about, she talks about this elder person who passed away. Mm-hmm. And when they got up to talk about him, it wasn't the things about his birth or his death. It was the things that were within the dash that made him special.
And it
was such a moving poem. And it's used oftentimes, and even Garth Brooks stole a little bit of it too.
Right.
But that to me was one of those aha moments where I thought, okay, I have to make sure that there's stuff in my dash that when I'm gone, people will remember me for.
Right.
And, you know, that legacy. So I want my, you know, the things that I do now, I always say, are to make the world a better place for my grandbabies.
Aww.
Because I want them to have a better world maybe than I had when I was here. And I have a pretty awesome world right now.
So
I think that's what people need to think about, you know.
Right.
Do you want to end your life with regrets or wish and never made your someday today?
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is so beautiful. And thank you so much for sharing so much valuable information on the podcast today. I think this is just a beautiful place to wrap things up and just let it all sink in and soak in. And I'll be sure to send people that need some confidence coaching your way. Yes.
Please do.
Yes. So I'll give you a few moments to just share some final thoughts with us, and then also share how we can continue following you with all the amazing things you're doing.
Well, if you are looking right away to be able to polish your delivery, I do have a course coming up just 3 days in July. So if this is a podcast that you hear now, you can July 22nd start, but you can contact me by going to findyourleadership.com. That's https://www.findyourleadershipconfidence.com. You can also contact me by just adding schedule at the end of that, and you can find a time that works for both of us to just have a free conversation, a free chat. I do checkup of your setup. So if you want me to tell you if your lighting needs fixed or your video needs work on, I do that, as well as we can just chat and see how else we can work together.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, Vicky. And we hope to stay in touch. We'll be sure to include all that information in the show notes.
Yes. Thank you so much. It was wonderful being here with you today.
Thank you for being on the show.
Be sure to subscribe so you'll be the first to be notified of every new episode. Leave a review and share this podcast with that elegant lady in your life. This is a space where we can come together to empower and inspire each other and leave feeling elevated and enlightened. See you in the next episode.